Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. Verse number 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Our Father, I pray that you would bless us. I pray that you would teach us. I pray that you'd help us understand your word and your desire for us to be like Jesus Christ in all ways. Guide and direct. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. I believe it is important for us to kind of backtrack and review just a little bit here as we move forward. Remember, we're talking about being like Christ. God has predestined, God has predetermined that all who would be saved, and he doesn't make anybody get saved or make anybody not get saved. He said very clearly, whosoever will may come. But he has predetermined that those who come to him in salvation will be like Christ. Okay? Now, that's a process that starts the moment you get saved. So God is working on you right now to make you like Christ. And while you didn't participate in your salvation, you participate in this is what theologians call sanctification. You participate. You help. You work at these things while the Holy Spirit enables you to continue in them and do what is right. We have talked about love, and Jesus Christ is the personification of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, his patience. Jesus Christ is the personification of all of these things. We want to talk about the next one today, and that is gentleness. Gentleness. In 1839, George Bethune wrote, "Perhaps no grace is less prayed for or less cultivated than gentleness. Indeed, it is considered rather as belonging to a natural disposition or external manners than as a Christian virtue. And seldom do we reflect that not to be gentle is sin." Wow. Let me read it again. "Perhaps no grace is less prayed for or less cultivated than gentleness. Indeed, it is considered rather as belonging to natural disposition or external manners than as a Christian virtue. And seldom do we reflect that not to be gentle is sin." It's true. Gentleness is a virtue that demands our responsibility. We've got to work at it and our dependence on the Spirit of God to produce it in us. So number one, gentleness defined. Gentleness defined. How would you define gentleness? Exactly. You really can't. Okay? We can't put the words together to describe what it is. It is difficult to define with words, but very easy to see. Amen? While it is difficult to find the words to explain it, we know instantly whether or not it is in the lives of other people around us. We know automatically. Someone defined it this way: mildness in dealing with others. It displays sensitive regard for others and is careful never to be unfeeling for the rights of others. Pretty good definition. Again, hard to put in words, but we know when other people have it. Gentleness and meekness are two terms, two of these characteristics of Jesus Christ that are linked together in our minds and yet very different. Gentleness is an active trait. It describes that manner in which we should treat others. Meekness is a passive trait. It describes the proper Christian response when other people mistrust us or mistreat us. Okay, how we act when that happens. Both of them stem from power. Both meekness and gentleness stem from strength. They're not a weakness whether in character. It's not a weakness and strength of any kind of or nature. It is not weakness. There is, a pseudo-gentleness that is effeminate. And there is a pseudo-meekness that is cowardly. But a Christian, to be gentle and meek is what the Bible calls us to stand for, because that is a godlike character trait, and Jesus Christ personified it all of the time. Look at the description of God in Isaiah chapter number 40. Let's go to Isaiah chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter number 40. Verse number 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Go to verse number 15. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as small as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Verse number 25. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Lord, the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by name, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Now go back to verse number 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. We have a description here of the God, the only God, the creator of this universe, who knows all of the stars by name, and not one of them fails without his knowing it, yet gentle enough to care for his flock. Gentle enough to care for the babies of his flock. That's the term gentleness here. Oh, it is strong. It is powerful. But yet it is mild. It's dealing with others at all times. Amen. Number two, gentleness depicted. Gentleness depicted. Jesus Christ is, of course, the embodiment of all these character traits. And we see it again in his gentleness. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Jesus Christ is all of these things, walking and talking and breathing and showing. He is our great example of all of these things. The Holy Spirit wants to produce them in us, but that doesn't stop us from having to work at it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 1, now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold towards you. He says, I'm trying to tell you how you should live. I'm going to be bold in doing so, yet show you the gentleness of Christ in doing so. His meekness, his gentleness. Yet you got to understand, these are the words of Christ, and this is how you should live. This is how you should behave yourself in all things. Go to Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter number 11, verse number 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Listen to the gentleness in the voice of Christ. Okay, come unto me. Come unto me. The word translated there, meek, is the word gentle. And it can also be rendered restful. He's saying, come unto me, and I will rest you. For I am restful, and I will find rest for your souls. It's amazing. Jesus Christ there is not only talking to the disciples and wanting them to rest in him in all things, but he's lifting up a greater thought here that if you actually believe that you have to work for your salvation, then you should be a whirlwind of activity and an anxiety-filled wreck. Do you realize that? If you honestly believe that what modern-day religions teach and what all man-made religions have always taught, that if you're going to get to heaven, if you're going to have forgiveness of sins, you got to work for it. You got to earn it. You got to keep our rules. You got to do what we say. If you honestly believe you can work your way to salvation, then I said you ought to be a whirlwind of activity and an anxiety-filled wreck. To them, Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. I will rest you. Wow. There is no greater show of the gentleness of Jesus Christ than that in the invitation he gives for salvation. Wow. Think about it. What do we, sinners, deserve from the strong hand of a mighty God? That word is judgment. And that judgment means hell. Wow. But what does he say? I paid your price. Come to me. That's amazing. That's astounding. That the God of the universe, the God who created it all, who keeps it all intact by his power, says, come to me and you'll find rest. I will give you the rest that you need. Come to me. Amen. Jesus Christ's whole demeanor was such that people were at rest in his presence, especially children. That's amazing to me. You read in the Word of God about children coming to Jesus, and what'd they do? They just ran to him. They flocked to him. They couldn't get enough of him. It's so much the disciples said, stop, leave him alone, get away from him. He's busy, he's important. Don't you understand? And what did Jesus Christ say? Don't stop them. Don't stop them. You can understand that unless you become like them, you're not going to see the kingdom of God. Now, there was one group of people that we can say without doubt Jesus Christ was not gentle toward. Who were they? They were the Pharisees. Okay? They were the religious people of the day who thought they were more righteous than everyone else, including this so-called rabbi, this self-appointed rabbi who eats and drinks with sinners. Wow. Read Matthew 23 in your leisure later and look how Jesus Christ dealt with them. But when one of them came to Christ and said, what do I need to be saved? He dealt gently with Nicodemus, but told him the truth in love. See, that's the mark of gentleness. When they're proud, you tell them the truth. And when they're humble. You tell them the truth. Wow. Isn't that amazing? And that gentleness brought people to him at all times. That's an outworking of gentleness in our lives. We need to be gentle one with another, gentle with the lost, that we might show them Jesus Christ in everything. Go to Matthew chapter number 12. Matthew chapter number 12, look at verse number 20. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 20. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. Another picture of the gentleness of Christ. The bruised reed, the smoking flax, refer to people who are hurting, spiritually weak, or of little faith. And Jesus deals with these people in a gentle way. Oh, he's firm. He doesn't back off on speaking the truth. He doesn't water down the message in any way, shape, or form. He doesn't tell them what they want to hear so they'll go away smiling. He deals with them gently, but firmly, telling them what they need to be right with God. Wow. I think of the Samaritan woman he met at the well. He doesn't back away from telling her the truth. As ugly as it may be, as sinful as it may be, but he does it in such a way to make her understand God can take care of that. You can be forgiven. And guess what happens? She gets saved and runs back into town. Come here. You got to hear this man. You got to listen to him. I have found the Christ. Now remember the story of who she is and what she was. This was a woman who was out at the hottest part of the day getting water because she knew no one else would be there. Because she knew she didn't want to see the sneers and hear the jeers of the other women who had come. She didn't want to have fingers pointed toward her. She did not want to have anybody saying anything bad about her. What's the first thing she does when she gets saved? She runs right into town where everybody is. Come on. Let's go see him. It's because Jesus Christ gently, firmly told her she needed to be saved. And she was. Amen. And that's exactly how we are to be. Not mean, cantankerous, at the same time not watering it down or backing it off or making it palatable for people to accept. No, the truth in love at all times, that we might point people to the Savior. Amen. Number three, gentleness demonstrated. Gentleness demonstrated. We are to be gentle in our treatment of other people at all times. It's not always easy because we tend to lift ourselves up a little bit too much. It's easy to look down on people when we do that. If I'm gentle, I will not belittle, demean, disrespect others in their presence. If I'm gentle, I will not slander, gossip, or criticize others when not present. I can and I will stand for what is right. I can and I will stand against what is wrong. And never have to be mean in doing either one. Wow. That's amazing. That was my Jesus. And that's how we're to be. I like that. So let me say it again because I want to hear it again. I can and I will stand for what is right. I can and I will stand against what is wrong. And not be mean in doing either. Amen. That's gentleness. We are to be considerate in our treatment of other people. Simply put, consideration is putting others ahead of self. Philippians chapter number 2. Go ahead and turn there. Philippians chapter number 2. Verse number 1 says, Philippians chapter 2, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Okay, esteem means consider. Consider the other person better than you. Now, I'm not going to have a show of hands, but if we did, and we asked the question, who has a hard time with that? Every hand should go up. Because we have a hard time putting the other person first. Come on. But gentleness says, I want to be like my Savior. And my Savior put me before himself. Wow. Wow. Often we say, I'm supposed to esteem them better, consider them better. Who are they? They're not worth that. They're not worth my time. They're not worth my energy. They're not worth my aggravation. They're not worth me going out of my way to put them first or think of them first. And then we go back to what Christ do for me. What did Jesus Christ do for me? He put me before himself. He left heaven. Took off the robes of divinity. Didn't cease to be God in any way, shape, or form. Put on human flesh. And was born into our world as a baby. Who had to learn to walk and talk and live like a man. Upon living a life that was completely righteous in all ways, he laid his life down for me. Could he have stayed in heaven and said, he's not worth it? Oh, absolutely. Could he have stayed in heaven and said, why should I bother? Oh, absolutely. Could he have said, why should I go out of my way? Why should I lower myself? Why should I do any of these things? Absolutely, and been righteous and holy in doing it. That's the amazing part. He could have stayed where he was and been holy doing so. And yet when we say those things, it's out of pride. It's out of self-interest. It's out of putting me first in all things. And yet Christ esteemed me better. That's mind-blowing. Now he says, be like me. Do the same thing. Won't be easy. It will be hard. And some days and some people will be harder than others. But do it anyway. And the Holy Spirit will enable you to do it. Because after all, what you want is for them to see, this is Jesus talking, for them to see me in you. Amen. That's what we need. The word others there in those verses, Philippians 2, 3 and 4, literally mean all others. Not just the others we pick. Not just the others we like. Not just the others we're not mad at. All others. Go to Philippians chapter number 4. Verse number 5, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. You know what that word moderation means? Gentleness. Let your gentleness be shown to all. Wow. That's amazing. And yet that's what we're called on to do. How do we develop that kind of gentleness? Well, first of all, work at it. Work at it. Anything worth having is worth working for. Work at it. That's what we've been called to do. Peter says, remember, diligently add this to your faith. Work at it. And work hard at it. Decide that gentleness is a Christ-like trait and should be a part of your life. Because God has predetermined you're like Christ. And he's working on you to be like Christ. And gentleness should be added, and you work at it all of the time. Second, ask someone who knows you best to be honest and evaluate your gentleness. And then work at it some more. Amen. That's a scary thought. How am I doing? At my gentleness. Wow. We may not want to do that part because we already know the answer. And then work at it some more. You know something? If we're being obedient to the Word of God, if we're submitted to the Lordship of Christ, we will be yielded to the Spirit of God. And as we move forward working at this gentleness, He will enable us to be gentle. Remember, at no time does he take over and you become a Christian zombie who can't help it. No, you're going to have to work at it. And I guarantee you, here, let me cheer you up as we close. I guarantee you, you make that decision to be gentle and someone's going to test you. Someone's going to try that gentleness. It's going to happen. Guess what? Ask for forgiveness and work at it again. Amen. And we can and will be gentle because God wants us to be like Christ. And it'll happen as we continue to live it out for God's honor and God's glory. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for Christ. Thank you for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for his example of gentleness. Help us always to remember when we're not considering of putting someone first that you did us and did not have to in any way, shape, or form. Lord, I pray that you remind us of your love, of your gentleness, of your meekness, both stemming from a place of supreme strength and power. And yet, you were gentle in saving our souls. Help us to realize there's a world that needs to see Christ. There are the believers that need to see Christ in us and through us. And gentleness is an area that we often neglect. Help us, Lord, to be like Christ in this area as well. Guide and direct and bless right now as we make decisions. And I pray that you'd again show us the importance of being like Christ in this area. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, what does God want you to do? What decision do you need to make right now? Oh, you know what it is. Holy Spirit has probably already impressed it upon you. You know what it is. Now it's a question of not what does he want, but what are you going to do about it? That's what the invitation time is for. A time where you look at yourself, you look at your heart, and you say, honestly, how can I fix this? How can I work at this? How can I do and be what I'm supposed to be that I might show Christ always? What are you going to do? First of all, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Because that's the number one question. None of this is possible without having Christ as your Savior. Heaven is impossible without having Christ as Savior. Forgiveness of sins is impossible without having Christ as Savior. Working for any of those things can't be done. But Christ in his gentleness says, I've done it all. You come to me and I'll give you rest. I'll forgive you. I'll give you that home in heaven. But you got to come to me. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he said. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. First of all, have you trusted Christ as Savior? If you have, say, Pastor, I have, by raising your hand. I'm saved. I know it. Pastor, slip your hand up. Put it back down. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Amen. 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 Christian, Christ was gentle with us. Oh, he spoke to us firmly. He let us know we were sinners in need of a Savior. But he put us first in dying on the cross and paying our sin penalty in full. Now he tells us, be gentle. Esteem others better than yourself. You say, Pastor, God spoke in my heart. That's something I need to work on. That's something I need to continue to work on all the time and remind myself I'm working on it. Pastor, pray for me. God spoke to me. Anyone like that, put your hand up, put it back down. Amen. God bless you. Amen. 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 Thank you. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't know that I'm saved. I'm not sure of my soul's salvation. I don't know I'm going to heaven. I don't know my sins are forgiven. I don't know that I'm saved. Pastor, would you pray for me? Anyone like that? Slip your hand up, put it back down. I don't know I'm saved. Pastor, pray for me. Amen. God bless you. Anyone else? Just slip your hand up, put it back down. We love you here. We want to pray for you. Christ loves you. He died for you. He considered you. He went out of his way for you. And now he says, come to me and I'll give you rest. Anyone else? Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Just slip your hand up, put it back down. Our Father, I pray that you would bless now in this invitation. Bless as we make these decisions. Lord, we thank you for the souls that have been saved here today. We thank you, Lord, that we've accepted your offer of rest in salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you. Help us now to work at gentleness, that we might be like Christ in all ways to all people at all times. Lord, for anyone in our midst, the one who raised their hand and others, Lord, show them their need for Christ. That forgiveness of sins only comes through Christ, that heaven only comes through Christ, and draw them to you today. I pray that you would bless in every decision that every one of us make, that we might leave here differently than when we came in. Guide and direct and bless. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. Turn to page 325, 325 in your hymn book. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. We're going to invite you to talk to God, invite you to make the decision that God has laid upon your heart. If you're not sure you're saved, I'll be waiting for you right down front. Come, talk to me. I'll have someone show you how you can know that you're saved. If you need to come down front, talk about baptism, talk about church membership, whatever it might be, I'm right here, right front, right now, as we sing. What does God want you to do?